Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast. I'm Genuinely Grace. I've managed to get away for a few days, so long since I've actually got out of the UK. And it's just a reminder that airports, I mean, what is going on with airports? Just full of alcohol and full of people drinking at 6 a.m. And I mean, it's just crazy. Even when I was drinking, I don't think that I would have... I mean, yeah, let's face it. We all think of airports as having no time. But even so, it's actually staggering, the amount of booze that goes down there. And I don't think they're getting a lot better with their alcohol-free choices either. There's the occasional bottle of alcohol-free gin, and the odd beer can be seen. But yeah, there's not enough for sure. Things definitely need to change, you know, because I spend my time in this world, you know, because I run the Sober Club and I do talks and, you know, obviously I've written books and stuff. I am obviously very consumed by the whole alcohol-free movement, the whole idea of people being sober curious, and the whole idea that everything's changing. And of course it is much better than it was, you know, whatever, 6-7 years ago. It's much better, and I'm very grateful for that. But you knew there was a but coming. When you're kind of out there in the real world, you realize that people still put away an awful lot of drink. It's the culture we're in, isn't it? It's just what everyone does. But not us, thankfully. We are the lucky ones, and we really, really are. I wanted to bring you today an interview with a guy that I just came across on Instagram. I thought, you know, yeah, I love this stuff. Love the stuff he's doing. So going to be chatting to Matt, Sober Yoga Dad. I don't know what time you're listening to this podcast, but maybe you're still in time to join the Sober Guys talking tonight at 7:45. You just need to go to thesoberclub.com, click on events, and you can register for free to sign up for that. If you want to be involved, everybody's welcome. Just a great way of getting guys chatting about stuff. It doesn't matter if you're sober curious or you've been sober for absolutely years. But obviously that only applies if you're listening to this during the day, Friday the 12th. And then I must also remind you that we have a Family Constellations workshop on Saturday the 20th of May in York. So finally, the girl goes up north. Really looking forward to it. So if you can join us for that one, again, if you go to thesoberclub.com, click on events, click on Family Constellations. There are a few places left for that day in York, Saturday 20th of May. And then there's a new Sober by the See as well in early July, and I haven't forgotten about setting up a retreat. I'm going to be doing it, I promise you. The other thing I wanted to share with you is that we have another round of our Tapping Into Freedom group coaching program starting very soon. So again, if you look at events, you'll see the information there. This is for you if you are someone who you don't necessarily want one-to-one coaching. You want, you know, the flexibility of a group coaching program. It's obviously much more affordable as well. And you'd like to learn a little bit of EFT tapping that you can use. It's fantastic for reducing anxiety, fantastic for calming your cravings and just helping bring you back to balance. So we'll be doing that over a 3 to 4 week period. And if you can't make the sessions live, it really doesn't matter. Everything is recorded for you there. So that's Tapping Into Freedom. If you know that you're interested, you could drop me a message. I'll make sure that I get you on the list. It's a small group, and it would be great to have you as part of that. You know where to find me, at Genuinely Grace on social media, or you can always contact me via the Sober Club. And just a quick mention as well, somebody asked me how they can support this work if they don't want to be a Sober Club member. I mean, why would you not? But no, I'm joking. I appreciate everyone's got their own thing, and it really doesn't matter what your thing is. As long as you've got some connection, then that's what matters. But if you don't want to be a part of the Sober Club, but you'd love to support this work, it would be hugely appreciated. It is a labour of love. And you can go to buymeacoffee.com/JanieLeeGrace. buymeacoffee.com/JanieLeeGrace. I think that gets you there. Or you could pop a donation into the Sober Club Give Back Fund. And that's what we use to support people who can't afford their membership anymore or need emergency coaching, which happens from time to time. So that's how you can support this work. Anyways, without further ado, let me introduce you to Sober Yoga Dad.
I'm so pleased to have Sober Yoga Dad here. How are you doing, Matt?
Yeah, I'm really good, thank you.
Good.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, no worries. Well, I thought that's a really cool name. We'll have to find out a little bit more about that. Find out what you do. Tell us a little bit about your story. You're a teacher, I understand.
Yeah, I'm a primary school teacher. I've been a teacher for 11 years, actually. Prior to that, I worked in computing kind of stuff and really got to travel the world and did that for about 15 years. And then my wife said to me, why don't you become a Spanish teacher, speak Spanish?
Cool.
And I discovered that I love working with young kids. So I've done that the last 11 years and I'm teaching 10 and 11 year olds at the moment, which I absolutely love. So,
brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. So tell us about your sobriety journey then. Tell us about your dim and distant past first before you get to the new stuff.
No, I mean, I was listening to one of your podcasts actually, and I think my story is similar to a couple of the guys on there that I desperately tried to start drinking from the age of about 15, 16. I'm not the tallest of people, so I struggled when I was younger to get in nightclubs and pubs.
Yeah.
But I managed to successfully start drinking really well and did quite well at university. And then with work, it was just, you know, part of life, you know, and I would, you know, was I someone who was out of control with drink at times, but, you know, it was just, you know, people would call it grey area drinking and stuff like that. But it's just something that was always part of my life. And in IT and computing, when I was traveling abroad, it was just something that we all did. You know, we went out a lot. You know, sometimes we went out all night and then carried on trying to work during the day. And hangovers would kick in the afternoon. And, you know, I had a good time. Do I regret some of it? Yeah, I guess I do. And then I became a teacher and I became a dad. I became a dad about 15 years ago. And when I became a dad, things starting to unravel with me with anxiety and depression and some childhood trauma stuff. And I think the drinking probably got a bit worse over time. Mm. When I became a teacher, I became much happier, but I also struggled with having my own children, teaching children, and I would look for, you know, alcohol as a way to sort of deal with things before I got home. So I noticed I was starting to go to the pub after work, not telling my wife. And then fast forward to lockdown, March 2020, and I discovered the joy of being able to order beer to my house, you know, and things just started to get a little bit worse. And I was sat on this sofa, actually, where I'm talking to you now in May, on the 25th of May, 2020. And I watched two TV programs, which changed my life. I watched a program about some former football players and their drinking problems and what had happened to them after their careers ended. And I watched a program about comedian Tony Slattery. Do you remember?
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
so I watched. That was sad, actually.
I remember.
Yeah, it was really sad. And I watched how he couldn't remember the last time he didn't have a drink. And there and then I thought, you know, I'm just going to stop drinking for a bit. So I stopped after a few days. I remember telling my neighbours over the fence and they laughed at me. And I discovered after about 40 or 50 days, I felt so flipping amazing. You know how we do. Right. And everything changed. You know, my skin started looking better. I started taking photos of myself, started losing weight. And what I realized was I wasn't someone who I thought needed to stop drinking. It's only after I stopped that I realized I needed to.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who are my friends now, you know, have been trying to stop for ages or were trying to stop. I wasn't like that. I've just done it in one hit and I've never blipped. And I'm 3 years at the end of this month, actually. And I've never, you know, had those problems with sort of having to keep trying again. So I'm quite lucky in that respect. But, you know, everything's unraveled and I've realized how awful it was for me. And certainly for my anxiety and some depression I've had, it really, you know, was something I should have done sooner.
Yeah, well, it's really good to hear. You know, I don't think everyone's the same as we know. And I actually think that you know, not everyone, I think it's quite encouraging to know that sometimes we recognize it's just time. It's time to stop. It's not serving us. You know, it really isn't. And we can make that decision and we can just, you know, hopefully for a lot of people, getting a bit of support, getting connection can really make a difference. But we don't have to go through the misery of, in inverted commas, relapsing. I hate that word, but it doesn't have to be that way. You know, sometimes sober club members will say to me, I'm a little bit scared to share this because people, you know, I see people struggling and I hear that people are tripping up and they've got great massive cravings and they're really hanging on for dear life. And you know what? I'm good. And I'm almost terrified I'll jinx it if I say that, but it's not true. But when it's time, when the light bulb comes on, you know, particularly if we've got other things in place, like some half decent nutrition, it absolutely can be okay. So I think it's really good to actually hear that, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, there's two or three different types of people I've come across. You know, I've joined a couple of quite big sort of organizations. And what I've seen is, you know, there's a lot of people who have had much bigger problems than I have with alcohol. You know, we could call them alcoholics or whatever. I certainly had some sort of dependency, but it probably came after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, so I wouldn't say it was as severe. There's a range of people and there's a range of support for them. Mm. I'm fortunate enough, I guess, that I've not blipped or whatever, but do I worry about it? I'm sure one day alcohol will pass through my lips. It's inevitable. It's everywhere.
Why do you say that?
I go still. Because it's so ingrained in society.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. But I mean, life, I'm 100% sure that alcohol will not pass my lips as long as I have a choice. Why would you choose to do that when you know that it's poison?
No, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I was at my wife's 50th birthday party, and because I was surrounded by a lot of alcohol there, by accident, I picked up the wrong glass.
It tastes like shit, doesn't it?
Oh, my God. Well, wine particularly, not beer, but wine does.
Tastes like petrol.
Yeah, it's petrol. That's exactly what it was. I thought it was something, you know, like petroleum inside me.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, so that's what I mean. I don't mean...
I see what you mean. I see. Yeah, you'll accidentally get some, yeah.
Because it's sloshing everywhere, right?
Yeah, true. True. Tell me a bit more about, there's a few things I'd like to chat to you about. Why are you called Sober Yoga Dad? Where does the yoga fit in?
Well, yoga's something I never would have thought I could do. I discovered it on Zoom not long after I gave up drinking. Someone kind of approached me and said, do you want to do yoga? And I fell in love with it. I did it every day for a year. I absolutely loved it. And the thing I realized about yoga is it's something I couldn't have done when I was drinking because I get quite bad motion sickness. I have to take travel sickness tablets. So doing a downward facing dog was my idea of hell. Right?
Do you know, that's so funny you mentioned that. I don't think I've ever spoken about that before. But actually, one of the amazing blessings that I noticed when I stopped drinking was, oh my God, I can do this yoga class without feeling dizzy.
Yeah. Oh my God. So for about a week of doing downward facing dogs, I felt pretty ropey. But I started to think, hang on a minute, my body's not full of shit here, so it's okay. And so once I could start doing that, I thought, wow, this is amazing. And then I fell in love with it. And I fell in love with it because it's pure meditation. Mm. And so I started doing it a lot. And I linked up to someone called Alex McRobb, Sober Yoga Girl. And she said to me, you need to call yourself Sober Yoga Dad and go on Instagram. So I was like, okay, I'll do that then. So I went on Instagram and, you know, I do classes now. I love it.
Do you? So you host classes? Great. Yeah. You host classes online or in person? Yeah.
No, I do them online and I do some in person near where I live. And I teach kids at school as well.
Brilliant.
So I do a bit of everything. I love doing Zoom yoga. And I love the connection you can still have, you know, with people. I used to love getting up for classes and seeing people all around the world during COVID. And I've done in-person stuff, which is obviously quite a bit better, but you can still have that connection. I have someone who does yoga with me a couple of days a week and she's in Dubai and she's always there and she loves it because it makes you do it. So yeah, I just fell in love with yoga and I fell in love with the fact that it started to heal me and it started to make me feel better about I'm trying not to call it mental health. I'm trying to call it mental fitness. Mm. And my mental fitness has got better with yoga. And I recommend it to anybody and particularly men who don't want to do yoga. The most common excuses I have come from men and it's, I'm not flexible.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not bendy.
Yeah. Well, and I think this is the thing with yoga, you know, we need to realize that it's not a competition? You know, I mean, I've been doing yoga for absolutely years, but am I any, in inverted commas, better? No, I'm not. But it doesn't matter. I still show up for it, you know, because I'm not actually in competition with anybody else at all. And finally, you know, after all these years, you know, I totally realized that it's where I am on the mat that day. And sometimes, you know, if I'm knackered, I won't even do all the poses. I'll just go into a nice relaxation pose, and that's fine too.
Totally. I mean, I do my 6 a.m. classes. I do it Tuesdays and Fridays every week. And I've actually sent myself to sleep teaching a class because we spend the first half an hour lying on the floor stretching. Yeah. And some people don't get off the floor, but they're in a meditative state. And I've struggled with doing headspace and meditation for years. Yoga is pure meditation. And another thing I've discovered because of yoga is breath work, which is absolutely transformational. And, you know, I'm sure you know all about it, but it's incredible. And it just goes on so well with it. So I've discovered these things because I'm not drinking.
Yeah, exactly. You know? That's what I really love about it, that when people stop drinking, it does open up the whole world of well-being, doesn't it? Where, for people who might not have ever gone down that path, really.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I love banging on the drum about it. I've just posted another little, you know, little reel on Instagram, because I just want to get people trying doing it. And I've offered free classes for absolutely ages. Eventually I've had to charge a little bit to pay my Zoom fees, but I want people to do it. And if they've never got any money, I say, it does not matter. Come and do it with me, because it's amazing.
Yeah. And you know, you mentioned
changing. It says life changes, not giving up drinking, finding yoga, I have to say.
And you mentioned children. I mean, wouldn't it be great if it were just a kind of part of education generally? Because, well, you know, I mean, that and a few other things you probably heard me say many times on the podcast, that I really think that, you know, if there were more work done helping kids just sit with that, be with their emotions, you know, it's okay to feel anger and sadness and grief and guilt and all that. It's okay. You know, they're not nice emotions. None of us love them, but it's okay. Rather than, oh, how quickly can you get you past that? So we give you a sweet because you've hurt your knee or whatever. What a different world it would be if children were enabled to acknowledge their emotions and just be with them, and let's let that pass, and you know, then let's have a look at it. And yoga can help with that, can't it? Because it just bring them back into the body.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I do yoga with my kids at school. You know, it's not like we do it as a formal class all the time. I actually got 30 yoga mats in my school last year, and we use them occasionally, but we do it in the class. I love hot yoga, so I go to a thing called Hot Pod Yoga, and they gave me 30 mats, which is amazing. But you don't need to do a class. So we just sometimes just do a tree pose, or we'll, you know, go into a warrior two or something. And it's that little states. And, you know, the thing about kids, which is quite interesting at primary school, is you learn the point where they discover humour, and you learn the point where they become embarrassed. And you actually learn the point where our embarrassment starts. And it's about the age of 7 or 8.
Yeah,
actually.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so when I do my breathwork classes, we always shake before the classes.
Yeah,
and,
lovely.
Some adults don't want to do it. You know, they're like embarrassed, or they turn the camera off. I tried to do it with my 10-year-olds the other day. And I said, we're going to close our eyes and we're going to try and do it. And it was so difficult to get them to do it because they've hit that embarrassment.
Yeah,
point.
Yeah.
And yoga, for some people, it's embarrassing for them to try it.
That makes sense. That's fantastic that you're doing that though. Just tell me a bit more about the, you know, when you stopped drinking. I guess if it was lockdown, you hadn't got quite the same pressures, in inverted commas, of social situation, you know. Did that make a difference for you? What about your sort of friendship group? Were there other guys that had anything to say about it?
I mean, I love talking. The fact you mentioned guys is interesting. I wouldn't say I'm the typical kind of man. I've never felt like I am. I grew up with two sisters, and my mom, my dad died when I was very young, which I'm always happy to talk about these days because it's had a profound impact on me. But, you know, the sort of groups of men that I did hang around with, I always felt it was a bit false because it was all based around drink. COVID and lockdown, you know, was a good thing. What's happened to me is, you know, I've let go of people.
Yes,
and I've
just
formed the most amazing new friendships. And I started being part of quite a big non-drinkers, alcohol-free group. And I was part of that for about a year, met some people through that, and then kind of moved on to sort of social Instagram. So I didn't find it that difficult because of COVID. But then even afterwards, you know, what I discovered was I just didn't want to sit in the pub. I mean, I'd be in the pub every Friday night after work. for 4 hours drinking 5 pints of lager. And I soon realized that, you know, I just didn't want to do that anymore. So then I found other people, mostly women.
Yeah.
You know, I've always had women friends, always had female friends, always found that easier to talk to them. You know, I'm reading a book at the moment called For the Love of Men by Liz Plank, and it's all about how men, you know, just don't know how to be friends with each other anymore and don't have to have those emotional kind of connections.
That well, that's that with our, you know, with our event, you know, in the sober club, the sober guys chatting, that's kind of one of the things we wanted to explore, really, is the fact that that there's not sometimes enough deep enough conversation goes on, is there?
Yeah, and I think it's something that, you know, there's a problem in the alcohol-free space. There's a couple of organisations I know that want to encourage, you know, let's have groups of men getting together and you can still get together, but you don't have to drink. But actually, I'm quite against that because I think it's still quite toxic. And I think this idea of sort of lads being together is not a good thing. What actually men need to do is they need to hang out with women more, and they need to understand how to act better by being with women. And I think that's where I've been very lucky. Although I was very unlucky that my dad died when I was very young, I was very lucky to have been brought up by women and to be friends with women, because I've learned how to behave better once I've got past that inevitable stage of going out with lads, drinking too much, making comments about women that I feel that men almost have to go through. Mm. So, you know, it's too easy to sort of just talk about toxic masculinity and such like, but, you know, I'm worried about men getting together by themselves. That's kind of my thing.
yeah, it's an interesting take on it. The other interesting thing, you know, we haven't touched on is your profession, you know, the teaching profession. I mean, they can drink, can't they?
It's rife. Yeah, it's rife. And the NHS, it's the same. You know, we're on strike today with the nurses and doctors and stuff. It's a problem. It's a massive problem. Drink and drugs is a problem in these public sector jobs, you know, because when I got into teaching 11 years ago, the pay was good. You know, I went into it knowing that the pay was as it was, for instance. You know, I knew what it was going to be like. So I didn't really feel I had a leg to stand on in terms of complaining. Now the pressures are unimaginable. And it's not because, you know, the pay is not kept up. It's because nothing's being funded. You know, we don't want to go into all the stuff about that. But, you know, we're seeing kids starving every day. You know, where I work, there's no lie to say, you know, poverty is so awful.
That must be absolutely heartbreaking.
Mental health. Yeah, and it has a massive impact on our mental health. I've gone down the pub many times and drank because of what I see every day. It's there. And people who say, you know, teachers have these great holidays. You get one good holiday a year in the summer where you actually don't have a class to look after. The rest of the time, every single day, you think about those kids in your class. You have nothing. Every single day. And as we talked about anxiety as well with children, I think about the children in my class who have massive problems and have experienced massive things. It can cause you to take drink and drugs as an option.
Yeah. And I guess when you're in that situation as well, you can see, you know, I know you're working with primary school children, but, you know, you can presumably see easily the way that left to their own devices, they are just going to transition into drinking.
Yeah.
Or taking drugs, other drugs, alcohol is a drug, but you know, they are going to transition into that because it's there, it's available, it's in their face, it's the easiest way out of their pain, really, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So, and God, I was telling someone this today.
I was telling someone this today. I was talking to this cafe owner, or a cafe I go to in Herne Hill, and we were talking about working classes and these and a sort of underclass of working class now. And then another one where we're seeing such poverty. And I said, if you walked into my class right now where I teach, you could pick the children off right now who we might have lost already. It's devastating. And yet in the Daily Mail today, there's an article saying teachers are having a great time being off school the last couple of days and we're off on spa days or something. So, you know.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it?
It's awful,
On the kind of mental health front for you, you know, what do you, apart from, I mean, obviously not drinking has had a massive, massive impact. And we can't deny that link, you know, between alcohol and anxiety and all the rest of it. It's the link is just huge. You know, what else have you found has benefited you? I know we had a chat by email. You were interested in the family constellation stuff that I do, which you should definitely come if you can.
Yeah, I'd love to.
But, you know, which, you know, that when you've got something where you can, you, something sort of almost tangible, where you can help find a way of knocking out some of those limiting beliefs and actually freeing up some of those entanglements, it makes a huge difference. What for you as support, what keeps you supported, as it were, in addition to not drinking?
Well, I mean, first of all, in terms of not drinking, I knew for ages it was a depressant. I knew it was depressing me. My friend would always tell me this. And so, and actually for the last 5 years, I take antidepressants.
Right.
So I take sertraline. I just very briefly, in 2008, I ended up in hospital with a heart attack when I was about 32. So I was treated for a heart attack. I passed out in my office in London where I worked, and I was treated for a heart attack for 24 hours. I had all the drugs, everything. The next day they told me, oh, we don't think you had a heart attack, actually. But by then I'd told everyone. So it's a massive life change.
Mm.
And my wife always refers to it as my fake heart attack, which is quite amusing to her. At that point, I knew there was a massive problem, and I discovered that I needed therapy for the loss of my dad and losing my dad and the trauma that I'd had because of losing him when I was just 2.5 years old, and realized that my whole life I'd never talked about it because I thought I never knew him.
Mm.
And it was only when I've got three daughters, when my first daughter is 3 years old, I suddenly realized, yeah, she absolutely knows who I am. Mm. And if I wasn't there, it would affect her. So the reason I mention all that is because I've had this deep trauma, and it's actually only in my third year of giving up drinking that I'm starting to realize that.
Yeah.
Which is why I've done a lot of yoga, but now I'm doing breath work to try and heal myself.
Yeah.
And it's working.
Yeah.
And it's working.
Yeah.
The reason it's working is because I'm still taking my antidepressants, and they work now. And they really do, because what sertraline does is it dulls the emotion. And so it dulls the fear that you wake up to every day, which I was rigid in bed sometimes, in terms of I was stuck to the duvet. I couldn't move, you know, I was like, ugh. And so sertraline now works. So I can actually see that drug works, okay, but I now need to release the trauma.
Mm.
So I've unpicked everything. You know, have you seen that film Limitless, where he takes a pill, you know, and everything works. Everything's working in me now. I'm like, yeah, that explains that. That explains that. Last night I was shouting at my kids, yeah, I know why that is, because I'm a bit tired. You know, everything's working. And that's what's significant about stopping the alcohol, but it's only the start.
Mm.
So if you are suffering with mental health issues, like I have done, you know, for 10, 12 years now, linked to childhood grief, you can't solve it until you stop taking those drugs.
Mm, yeah, so true.
And I think about that every time. I think, yeah, I can deal with that now because I've not got that in me.
Mm,
and maybe I need to cut out sugar as well. There's a few other things that I take in, you know, that are not great, but they're not as obviously bad as alcohol and drugs. So,
yeah. You should definitely come to Constellations. We you know, we work with a lot of people who have had similar kind of situations, and you know, as you said, the trauma is, it's actually held in your system, and you know, and not only that trauma will be passed on.
Yeah,
so the really Absolutely. Amazing thing about Constellations, and one of the things that's just so magical about it, is that, you know, when you do this work, you do it not just for you, but for future generations and for the ancestors. That's where it's really cool.
Yeah,
really
I'd
cool in that
I'm
respect.
Gonna, I'm going to come.
You know,
I'm gonna
yeah,
come. Yeah,
it's,
I will do.
It is amazing. And, it, you know, so it's that whole, there's that lovely picture that we show at the beginning of Family Constellations, like that kind of almost like a peacock image. So you're right at the front, and all of those ancestors are behind you. Now, of course, if we did have the weight of those hundreds of ancestors behind us all supporting us, that would be marvelous. But the reality isn't like that, because there are broken links in the chain. Of course there are. But we're still at the front, and we can break that cycle, you know, and you don't have to pass on the blocks and the limiting beliefs and the entanglements, you know, that have been passed down to us. So it's super exciting work. It really is.
It sounds amazing. And you know, I love teaching so much, because I know I am helping some kids, and
yeah,
I know talking about my trauma. And you know, we're in a really great age where, in the 1980s, when I went to primary school, you did not talk about anything.
No, you
wouldn't.
No, exactly.
You did not talk about anything. I remember one day my teacher said to me, "What does your dad do?" And I said, "My dad's dead." And the look on her face maybe never talk about it again in my whole school life.
Yeah.
Whereas that's not the case now.
Yeah.
From a young age. And that is brilliant. So we've come a long way.
Definitely.
But there's still a lot of work to do.
Yeah. Brilliant. So do you want to share your details of your classes, or do you want just people just want to find you on Instagram? What's
people
your best thing?
Just find me on Instagram at SoberYogaDad, and I've got a little Linktree stuff in there. And
cool.
They can book, make a little donation, and come along and join the yoga revolution.
Fantastic. And just a reminder, you know, you don't have to be super flexible or have a certain body shape. Or that's what's great about it. Anyone can do it. And particularly if you're doing it on Zoom, I mean, no one can see you anyway, really, not properly. So it's not like you've got to be worried about somebody next to you who's seems to be turning their body into a pretzel. You can do whatever you like, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's for anyone and everyone and from any age. You know, I've had people in their 80s doing yoga with me. You know, I try to get my daughters to do it, you know, so the age is huge. And it's amazing.
Yeah, fantastic. Really great to chat to you. And we'll see you at our Constellations, I hope. Take care. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Thank you very much.
So we'll pop all that in the show notes. And don't forget, I always say this, but, you know, if you are struggling, just always reach out. Whatever's going on for you, it's never a good idea just to hole up. I used to do that all the time. I would literally make the decision, things are not good, I'm going to stop drinking. And then I would tell no one at all and then wonder why the voice in my own head didn't seem to support the decision I'd made. Well, of course, you know, our unconscious mind tends to work towards negativity, not because we're miserable, but because it wants to keep us safe, wants us to do what we've always done, right? So we need to somehow get connected, get inspired, allow our unconscious mind to feel okay about the changes that we're going to make. And one of the best ways we can do that is to make a commitment, but make it feel possible. Focus only on what we're gaining rather than what we are, in inverted commas, giving up, because of course we're giving up nothing. But it really helps if we can allow our unconscious mind to feel good about what we're going to be doing rather than what most of us do, which is set off on this project of stopping drinking, focusing only on the pain and the misery. And then we feel deprived. And then somebody offers us a drink and the unconscious mind says, well, that's really crap. Everyone else is drinking and having fun. And here I am depriving myself. You know what? I don't like this at all. I'll start tomorrow. So what we can do is just literally support our own decision by bringing in the good stuff. It's really all about what we add in. And that's what we do in the Sober Club. We just come up with a ton of suggestions for you that we can help support you. And accountability is one of them for sure. Actually knowing that there are a bunch of people who are rooting for you, who are literally going to cheerlead you, it makes such a massive difference. So, you know, do check it out. Check out the Sober Club and please join us if that's of interest to you. And I'll make sure everything, all the stuff goes in the show notes, obviously. And I'll see you same time next week. Don't forget about Constellations, Sober by the Sea, and the Tapping into Freedom. You'll find all of that at thesoberclub.com. Click on events. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast brought to you by the Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.